The urgent challenge to protect our common home includes a concern to bring the whole human family together, to seek a sustainable and integral development, for we know that things can change. These are the words that Pope Francis uses to open his encyclical letter on the environment and human ecology. They are hopeful words, not particularly radical, and in fact, they should directly resonate with us as a people who seek to protect the interconnected web of life as one of our core UU principles. Though we may recognize the urgent challenge, the seeking of sustainable solutions, the want to protect and preserve, we have yet to come together as the whole human family. We may come together at times, but mostly we are divided. We as a country, as a world, and as a UU community struggle greatly with difference. We struggle with racism, classism, ethnocentrism, sexism, homophobia, ableism. We struggle to love the people we are. We struggle to love and not hate, not isolate our human family. Though we must, as Pope Francis articulates, come together to seek sustainable and integral development, we must first learn how to be this family, a family that has yet to come together. In Malawi, Africa, where I did my Peace Corps service, funerals were filled with loud wails. The village I worked in operated as a tight-knit community that called upon all of its members to come to the funeral. Funerals would be a whole day affair in which most of the members of the village would attend. Women close to the deceased often gather in a circle around the body and wail. Other women sit over fires furiously cooking while the men sit in another circle, passing around the local millet beer and chatting softly amongst themselves. If you happen to be a Peace Corps volunteer who has scheduled a meeting for this day, it will have to be rescheduled. You will instead have to wrap a chichenje cloth around your middle and get ready to sit on the ground in a heap of funeral wreaths. Not only are these funerals a responsibility of the entire community, they are also a way in which the community publicly shows and acknowledges their, our pain. We as a culture often struggle with showing our pain. We get much more involved in hiding or trying to end it than we do in actually acknowledging and embracing it. We shy away from actually just sitting in our pain. In a village, at least in my experience, it's more difficult to do this, as attempting to hide in general in a village is sort of difficult and hard. Everyone knows everyone, everything about them, and makes it their business to know all the business. I believe that not acknowledging this pain, not sitting in it for a while, is part of what is blocking the forming of a true human family. We shy away from expressing our pain, and we are less likely to see the pain of others and less likely to address our own pain in a way where we identify that our pain is part of us, is part of what makes us whole. I think this has implications for different people, but I am going to speak briefly about what this means for me. I'm going to speak about being white, because I feel that racism is one of the core reasons why we have failed to unite as a human family. When I was a director of religious education at a UU church in Boston, I drove to work early Sunday mornings to enjoy both the empty streets and an empty, quiet church before the hubbub of Sunday made landfall. One particular morning, I had a lot on my mind. I was feeling sad about something or other, wasn't paying as close attention as I should have been. The car I was driving had tired, weary brakes that took a bit of work sometimes to actually stop the car. I was zipping along, and I didn't see the woman in the crosswalk until I had already hit her. I did not hit her hard, but I did bump her enough for her to fall down. Shaking, I stepped out of my car as the woman was picking herself back up. Before I was able to say anything, she looked at me and asked, "Are you okay?" Crying and shaking, I think I nodded, and finally I got out a, "Are you okay?" She told me she was fine and then asked where I was going. "To church. I am going to church." "Good," she responded, and I asked her another time if she was okay. She assured me she was and told me to get to church. And so I drove off. This is how racism feels in my body. Even though I have attempted through various workshops, courses, books, discussions, and work to rid myself of the racism I feel inside me, I still feel it. I feel pieces of racism that are like rocks in my stomach, grown and formed from the simple reason of growing up white in the United States. Racism to me feels like the hurt and pain that comes from going full speed and all of a sudden wanting to stop, but not being able to stop in time to prevent damage, to prevent hurting other people. I want to pause. I want to pause for a reminder that I'm only talking about this inherent racism, this pain, these divides in the human family, because I believe, no, I more than believe, I have a full drag you through the gutter and explode your heart faith that we can do this. I have an unbelievably hopeful faith that there is potential for a human family that not only sees, respects, and accepts, but that loves every single family member. We all know this doesn't mean that we will always get along, but we do always love. And this love, the unstoppable love, the love that sees no bounds, is the love that will save our home, our earth. Our earth, who also like us, is a bit of a broken beauty. A broken beauty who, despite our often intrusive and damaging interventions, still holds strong, showcasing the beauty of canyons, of oceans that span beyond our belief, a earth that offers expansive Sound of Music mountains, never-ending blue skies, dark skies, starlit skies, an earth that has inspired the poetry, writing, painting, songs that keep us going, that keep us connected and loving, that sometimes feel that they are keeping us alive. I'm talking of race today for two reasons. Firstly, because socially marginalized racial minority communities are disproportionately subjected to exposure of pollutants, the denial of access to natural resources, such as clean air, water, or both. Secondly, I'm talking about race as white supremacy is deeply interconnected and woven into all other oppression. And it is my belief, and the belief of many others, that dismantling this will help free us from oppression of all types and enable us to become the human family we desire to be. I also felt compelled, as recently there is an article in the Huffington Post that called out the UU Church, and it felt important to talk about this. This article, entitled "Whites Only, Standing Up for Racial Justice in the Caucasian Invasion of Racial Justice Spaces," is written by Dee Dee Delgado, a woman of color who works in part for the UUA, as well as being an organizer for Black Lives Matter and several other organizations in Boston. She mentions UU churches as part of a group of organizations that act as visible and potentially harmful, white-led anti-racism groups that, through their lack of accountability and sometimes outright anti-blackness, have led to a recipe for disaster. Delgado points out that these groups prove problematic in their attempt to end white supremacy by supporting and providing spaces for white people. She talks about how the UU Church and other groups need to be aware that you cannot be a member of an oppressive group without inflicting harm on those you oppress. The objective for allies should be to inflict as little harm as possible. She goes on to say, white folks need to ask themselves if they're doing this work because it's moral imperative or because they want accolades and kudos to soothe their white guilt. My ego is hurt reading this article, but it has also motivated me to keep fighting. To keep fighting as I know the racist pieces in me, the unchecked privilege, contain hate and guilt that is festering. We must focus on race in a world where people of color are not only going to be more impacted by climate change, but are right now and in general more impacted by environmental injustice and degradation. From Standing Rock to Flint, Michigan, to the sinking islands off the Pacific, people of color are more impacted by climate change and by environmental policies and decisions. Something I love about being part of a village culture was being able to know that my village would see and witness my pain no matter what. My pain was their business to witness as part of their whole who wasn't doing so well, whether that meant I hadn't left my house for a while and missed being home, or I was battling some kind of nasty gastrointestinal bug. I was part of their whole, so my pain was their pain. As you use who hold the inherent worth and dignity of every person as part of our truth, we also work to witness pain, hurt, and suffering in an attempt to be part of and build that human family. We have also worked hard as part of taking care of ourselves to take care of our earth. And though many of us are reeling in the face of our new political reality, in the face of climate change, we have made progress and, most importantly, positioned ourselves to make more. We, as UUs, know that we are positioned to love. We are positioned to instigate, invite, and form a human family that has the capability, the intelligence, and the drive to save an earth we have neglected and damaged. And I am going to work on this human family by showing my pain, by sitting in my discomfort, but knowing that it is a long battle that I may not see the results from. I am going to listen to people of color even when I feel guilty and in pain. I am going to listen in my discomfort so that all the pain, and not just my own, can be witnessed. We are called to action as people to witness all the pain of our human family. I, as a white person, am called to listen to witness the pain of people of color. And we, as UUs, as always, are called to justice. I know we as a human family have neglected and damaged each other, but the capacity to damage and neglect has never taken away our capacity to love. Through horrendous times of human rights abuses, human neglect, we have not lost our capacity to love. This love, when surrounded by darkness, even when surrounded by environmental devastation, manifests in small pockets of voices, protest, inaction, manifesting sometimes in small, but manifesting nonetheless. This place, this is where my hope lives. We as the human family, no matter how broken or divided we are, have never stopped loving, have never stopped attempting to unite, to not be divided. We as people who crave, want, and work for justice often get in cars, metaphoric and real, that are often driving too fast. We drive too fast and we bump into something or someone we didn't mean to hurt. We are going to bump into people along the journey, and we must remember that we are family. And it is a family that deserves our hearts, our ears, our commitments, that we will not try to hurt anyone. In order to save our world, we need to become the human family I know we can be. And to do this, we must be willing to feel the pain and discomfort, the oppression and suffering in our world. We must work, and this work is called love. Amen. For our next hymn, you will notice that it is blank. Because we are going to sing the Garden Song, which because of copyright, we cannot have in the order of service. Out of a show of hands, who knows the Garden Song, inch by inch? Oh, okay. Great. So, yes. So I'm going to start singing. So there are two verses that I think most everyone should know. This originally was a John Denver song, and there are many verses. So the first verse is, inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. So let's just try that now. So inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down. Okay, now the other verse I want to sing goes like this. Plant your rows strong, straight and long. Temper them with prayer and song. Mother Earth will make you strong if you give her love and care. So let's sing the first verse that we all know again and then try to go to that. Yeah? Yeah? Okay, so inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Plant your rows straight and long, temper them with prayer and song. Mother Earth will make you strong if you give her love and care. All right, and then just the first verse one more time, and then we can be done. Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.